Welcome to UTG Voices, the monthly podcast from UTG, where we speak to different contributors working behind the scenes to bring you the latest UTG content. In this episode, we begin by speaking to Danielle Stewart about some of her recent articles, including those from the Women of Faith series. In part two, we'll be speaking to Will McPherson about how he contributes to the project, including his work behind the scenes on the podcast. So join us for this episode as we get a deeper look into the work, the voices, and the content shaping UTG. Now, as we said, we're delighted for the first part today to be joined by Danielle Stewart. So welcome, Danielle.
Thanks for having me.
No, it's great to have you on and to speak to another of our contributors. So, Danielle, when we speak to our contributors, we always want to get a bit of their kind of life story and some of the highlights and the background and some of their testimony of how they came to know the Lord. Now, I'm going to say something here before we get a little bit further along. Now, you'll hear Danielle's accent in a minute, and you will never realize this from the way the two of us speak, but we actually grew up about an hour away from each other. Certainly for the first few years of our lives, but then your life and family life took you over to Canada. So we're looking forward to hearing you share something of that story with us. So please share it, Daniel.
Yeah, as you said, I was born in Harrogate in North Yorkshire, which is where you're from. I do not have an accent like you. We moved when I was 8, and obviously just being in school here, I very quickly lost it. The reason for us moving is my parents are full-time workers in the Lord's work, have been since before I was born. Their primary work in the UK was operating Postal Bible Studies, or PBS, which they ran in Devon before moving to the north. And then they felt called to move to Canada to open a PBS center here to be involved in other aspects of the Lord's work here. So we moved to Portage la Prairie, Manitoba, which, if you look at a map, is right smack in the middle of the country. I married my husband, David, in 2018, and we are expecting our first child at the end of this year. We still live in Portage and are in happy fellowship in the assembly that meets here.
Great. And obviously, congratulations on expecting your first child. That's great news. But also, Danielle, maybe then within that story, obviously started in England, moved to Canada at 8 years old. When did you come to know the Lord?
Yeah, so I was saved at the young age of 5. My parents created and ran a PBS camp every summer, which your parents were heavily involved in as well. We went to that together as kids. 1997, in the August, it was the day we were to head to camp to set up. We got there a day before everybody else. And we had our daily family reading around the breakfast table, which always ended in Dad reading from a missionary magazine called Echoes of Service, which had a daily short excerpt from missionary serving somewhere in the world, along with praise requests. That morning, it was written by Ruth Turkington, who served the Lord in Venezuela, and she mentioned how a young Christian lady who was picking up children and adults for a gospel meeting had been involved in a fatal car crash. This young lady died, as well as some of the passengers, and I remember my dad reading that, and then before he closed in prayer, he made the comment, "I wonder where their souls are now." That stuck with me all day as we traveled to camp, thinking about those who had died, thinking about the children that were in the car crash, and thinking about my own soul. Growing up in a Christian home, I knew the message of the gospel inside and out. I could tell it to anybody, but I hadn't really stopped to think about what it meant for myself. So when we got to camp, I went and found my sister, who was 6 years older than me, and confided in her what I was thinking about and how I knew that if I died, I would be lost forever. We went into kind of the staff meeting room, and I remember kneeling in front of an old rocking chair, and there I trusted my soul to the Lord Jesus. I couldn't wait to tell my parents, and I probably told everybody at camp that year. And then I was baptized at the age of 12 and came into Assembly Fellowship a few years later. I did struggle with some doubts about my salvation when I was older, mostly because a lot of the details were fuzzy, and I couldn't remember the date. And thankfully, my dad is an amazing record keeper, and so he could look back, figure out when camp had started that year, et cetera, et cetera. Not that knowing the date means everything, but it did help a lot. And obviously being so young, it was like, could it really be that simple? Could a five-year-old have really got saved? So the verses in 1 John 5 became very dear to me. So I'll just read them here so I don't misquote them. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And so I realized anew that it's not what I do, my believing, my knowledge, my trusting, but in what he has done, and that the word of God states without any doubt that if you have the Son, you have life.
Amen. And a great reassuring verse, isn't it, that he that hath the Son has life. Great. So thank you for sharing that with us, Danielle. And let's move forward then a little bit. You mentioned that you're still involved in the local church in Portage-la-Prairie. So what does that look like, maybe week to week kind of thing? How are you involved in serving the Lord through the local church and in other ways?
Yeah, so I am still quite involved with PBS over here, both as a teacher, marking the lessons, as well as going to my parents' home once a month. They live a couple hours away from us now, to help with the big monthly mail out of the lessons. And I also edit and proofread the lessons as well. I'm involved in our weekly Saturday night youth group at our church. Obviously, being a woman, there's much less of a public role, but being involved behind the scenes as much as we can, and we love having people over to our home, and of course, writing for UTG.
Perfect. And you've given me a great transition straight into UTG then. So how did you become involved? Because obviously, you've lived the whole of your adult life over in Canada. So how did you become involved in UTG?
So I've heard quite a few others. Stephen Grant should just become a full-time recruiter because he does a great job of telling people about it. And that's how I heard about it. He came to our annual conference this time last year, actually gave a report on the different aspects of the Lord's work that he's involved in. And one of those, of course, is UTG. I vividly remember one of the slides on his presentation, and it listed skills that they were looking for in regards to help that they needed for the UTG project. And I remember looking at it and thinking, all of those skills are on my CV and my resume and experience. And it would be great to use them in the Lord's work, because I love when those two worlds collide, so to speak, where what you're naturally good at doing and what you enjoy doing can be used in his work. So I approached him at one of the breaks and told him that, and the rest is history. So I really appreciated how professionally and carefully UTG was set up. It's still that way today, and it's wonderful being part of the team.
Great. And so we're glad to have you on board. And you've been writing quite a number of articles since then over the last little while. And so for the rest of the part of this episode today, we really wanted to come and think about some of the articles that you've written in the Women of Faith series and encourage our listeners to go and have a listen to them. So maybe you could just tell us about some of the women that you've written about, and maybe a little bit about what inspired you to write about them.
Yeah. So Elizabeth Elliot was the first one I wrote about. She was the wife of Jim Elliot, who was martyred in Ecuador, I believe in the 50s. And then I wrote about Corrie Ten Boom, who hid Jews in her home in World War II, was arrested and sent to a prisoner of war camp. So those two have been published. And then the two that are still waiting to be published is one on Gladys Aylward, who was a single lady who became a missionary in China. And then Amy Carmichael, another single lady who became a missionary to India. And the reason I was inspired to write about them and I'm excited to write about them is that when I was growing up, I loved reading the old biographies of these men and women of days gone by. I still do. I do feel, unfortunately, that they're becoming less and less known. And so I wanted to try and remedy that. They are all extraordinary people who did extraordinary things. And yet they never viewed themselves that way at all. And they would probably be horrified to learn that I've written about them, that we're talking about them. But I do believe that they paved the way, not just for missionaries today, but for all of us, anyone who's a believer in the Lord Jesus.
Yeah. And so one of the aims of the Women of Faith series has been to, yes, think about the lives of these people and how they lived and how they served the Lord, but also really to kind of draw out biblical principles that we maybe see in their lives or something that really, really spoke to them. So what was the kind of biblical principle particularly drawn out in the life of Gladys Aylward?
Yeah. So when she applied to a missionary training program, she failed the exam and she was told that she would never be smart enough to learn Chinese. And of course, most of us would have taken that as a sign not to pursue it further. Okay, not going to do that. But she couldn't shake the conviction that God was calling her and that God was calling her there. And so with her few savings and her unshakable faith, she set out for China alone. She had to board a train that went across Siberia, which was dangerous then, freezing and uncertain. During the Sino-Japanese War, when her village came under attack, she led over 100 orphan children on a 100-mile trek over mountains to safety, with little food, no supplies, and constant danger. And so it really came out to me that God delights in using those that the world would consider unqualified. And she was there for the rest of her life. She was rejected because she was deemed incapable of learning Chinese, which she obviously overcame. She lacked formal education, finances, connections, and yet God still used her for extraordinary things.
Absolutely. I think that's a principle that we see right throughout the Bible, isn't it? That God takes perhaps what seems weak, what seems ordinary, and uses it for his glory and for his purposes. There's a few verses that come to mind. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're told that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And when I read that verse, and when you think about the life of somebody like Gladys Aylward, then you realize that actually the glory and the greatness of the treasure is really only magnified by our own weakness. Yeah. And so that people might see that it is actually God who is at work. Were there any other kind of verses or biblical examples that you were thinking about particularly?
Yeah. So one verse that definitely came to mind was 1 Corinthians 1:27, which says, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise and the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. And along with that were the well-known story of Esther in the Bible, where God tremendously worked behind the scenes to put her in power, as Mordecai says, for such a time as this. She was definitely unqualified to be queen in that respect, but God used her to preserve his people from annihilation. Another one was Gideon, when he went to fight the battle and the Lord kept stripping away his army until he had only 300 men to go and fight, so that when they won, they knew that it was because of the Lord working with them and not their own strength.
Absolutely. And that actually brings me back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that you quoted verse 27 for us there. But if we follow a couple of verses further on, when we get to verse 29, we're told why this is the case, why God has chosen to use the foolish things of the world so that no flesh should glory in his presence. Hopefully an encouragement to us, for any of us seeking to live for the Lord and to serve him. We shouldn't be doing it for our own glory, and we do so often sense and feel our own weakness, but we trust that the power is of God and the glory is for him and for him alone. So that's a really important principle. So What about Amy Carmichael then? I should just say the Gladys Aylward article should be live now, just in the last few days gone live. So if you want to go and read that, the link is down in the description. But we're also hoping that in the next few weeks, the article on Amy Carmichael will be out, Danielle. So what was kind of your thinking behind writing about Amy Carmichael, and what biblical principle really came to mind from her life?
Yeah, so God called her to India in 1895, and she went without hesitation. She was there for 55 years, which blows my mind, and she never once came back home. She was there for 55 years. When she was in India, she discovered a heartbreaking reality of the culture that many young girls were being dedicated to temples, trapped in lives of abuse and exploitation. And so she began rescuing these children, providing them with safety, education, and obviously the knowledge that God loved them and that they were precious in his sight. So the sacrificial love really came to mind because she was very, very, very quick to point to Christ when others admired her courage. She actually said, "When I consider the cross of Christ, how can anything that I do be called sacrifice?" And so for her, even though she gave up all the comforts of home when she was old and very sick, she still stayed there. So her life showed me, and hopefully shows others, that true love does cost something. It demands time and energy, comfort, even your reputation. Yet in giving it all, she found her deepest joy, because love given to Christ, time given to Christ, is never wasted.
Yeah, it's certainly an inspiring story, isn't it? And when we think about loving sacrifice, then we can't help but think of Christ himself, can we? And my mind would go to a verse like Romans 5 and verse 8, but God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And I'm sure even someone like Amy Carmichael, like you said earlier, these people wouldn't like the fact that we're talking about them. And ultimately what they want is the focus to be pointed back to Christ. And when we see people demonstrating sacrificial love like Amy did, how could we not think about Christ and his sacrifice on the cross?
Yeah, and there's a great verse in 1 John 3:16 that literally says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." And I know as Christians, we can often be too focused on preaching the gospel with words, and unfortunately our actions and our lives don't match up to that or aren't consistent with that. And obviously the importance, like it says, of loving with actions as well as with words. And along those lines, Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many."
Absolutely. And so we should all be looking, shouldn't we, and encouraged and challenged by that sacrificial love of Christ, that we might see it in our own lives as well. So, Danielle, we better wrap up the first part of this episode. But before we do, maybe you could just tell us, I think you have a few other things that you've been inspired to write about recently. So maybe you can give us an idea of what we can look forward to in the next little while.
Yeah. So something that really challenged me personally is how I find it really hard to be silent and still in this day and age. A man wrote, "All of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room alone." And believe it or not, that was written in the 1600s. So I can only imagine what he would say now. We live in an age of constant notifications, endless opinions. We're managing homes, businesses, careers, friendships. We're expected to be available, informed, responsive at all times. But the spiritual cost of that is significant, because intimacy with God cannot deepen if we never offer him our undivided attention. And so this article that I wrote is about the discipline of being silent and still, with some examples from scripture as well as practical tips on how we can hopefully get better at that.
That sounds great. And certainly, as you say, very relevant in the time that we're living. So, Danielle, thank you so much for joining us and sharing all of that with us today. It's been really interesting to hear. And our listeners can continue listening to part two as we're joined by Will McPherson. So welcome to part two of this episode of UTG Voices, and we're delighted for this section to be joined by Will McPherson. Welcome, Will.
Hi, great to be with you, Josh.
No, thank you for joining us, and we're really looking forward to hearing what you've got to share with us about what the Lord's doing in your life and the different things that you're involved in at UTG. So maybe you could get us kicked off then, Will, for this part of the podcast with your testimony and how you came to know the Lord and how the Lord's been working in your life.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so I guess just saying from the outset, my name is Will McPherson. I'm the son of Alistair, who's the most common of the podcast hosts. And so he is somebody who played a massive role, and my mom in helping me to understand the gospel. So from a young age, I went to church. I was able to hear in the Sunday school Bible stories. I was just brought up appreciating what the gospel was, what it meant, how it impacted me. And so around the ages of 10 to 13, having heard the gospel after school clubs and Sunday school and the summer camps, I was just continually reminded of my need, the fact that I was a sinner, and the difference of example that my parents had in the way that they showed forth what it meant to be a Christian. And I wanted that for myself. And so I would, in those moments between the ages of 10 to 13, and I can't remember exactly when, but I would pray for repentance, that there would be a change in my life, that I would be a Christian. And I thought that I was going to change just like that, that I was going to become somebody who was godly and like my parents, and that I was just going to have that godliness. But it's as you grow in your walk that God has helped me to realize that the will of God is your sanctification. It's just bringing you continually under the fact that you still need him. And so it wasn't a difficult path for me to get to this point where I was saved and I was a Christian, but it was a miracle nonetheless of God just helping me, working with me despite my sin, continue reminded, having had three younger brothers in the home, that I was somebody who often fell short and who failed. And when you read so many Bible stories about the Lord Jesus Christ, you're continually reminded of the fact that he was perfect in every way, and he was different and unique. And so the joy for me is in trusting in his completed work and not in a prayer that I had to pray or some form of godliness that would just be seen in that moment of salvation. But Christ's work is sufficient, and I'm saved by his grace.
And amen to that. We're thankful for the sufficiency of the work of Christ, absolutely, aren't we? So, yeah, great. So, Will, obviously, I've known your family for quite a while, and my wife, Kerry, has known you even longer, but it's a good job she's not here because she might tell some stories that you don't want people to hear. Yeah. But one of the things that we do know, obviously, is that there's been some big moves in your life recently. And so maybe you could just share something a little bit about what you're involved in life in general outside of UTG and where the Lord has taken you at the moment.
Yeah, so obviously grew up in Scotland, and that was the first 16 years of my life. And then we moved to England, to Oxfordshire, and I did my final 2 years of schooling. Then I had 2 years where I was working, and then it was the Lord's hand really in helping bring me to where I am now, which is the Master's University. So that is a university situated in California. It's one that John MacArthur was heavily involved in. He was the chancellor there. And it was our connections through ACBC, so Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, that both made us aware of the fact that there was this university, but also they encouraged me to go. And so I wasn't really considering it initially, but as I was praying about my future and what the Lord would have me do, it was a case that he very graciously allowed and provided for me to be able to be there. And so I've just done my first year. That has been such a tremendous blessing, being in an environment where I'm able to grow in my walk with the Lord while studying and working in media content And that's obviously where my skill set carries over to my involvement with understanding the gospel. And yet I'm still in the very early stages of that. But yeah, outside of what I'm doing for the project, I'm out in the States studying, learning more about the scriptures and the Bible classes that we get to take there. But also, Justin, how does my involvement with media, how can that be to the glory of God in the career that I'll go into?
Yeah, that's really interesting and obviously quite a different story to most people that we speak to on UTG Voices. But it's great that the Lord's provided that opportunity for you to go over there to California and to study the Word, but also to study the media side of things and to see how that could be used. And obviously that plays right into what we're trying to do at UTG, where we're trying to use different forms of media to reach out to people with the gospel. So maybe, Will, you can then connect those two things a little bit more for us. So how do those skills and the things that you're learning in your studies transfer into UTG, and what are you actually doing and contributing to the project?
Yeah, so my interest in media and technology, that started off when I was getting into my early teenage years. And it was around 2020, around COVID, that the kind of UTG as a project was coming up, and there was people getting involved in what was going to be an online platform for sharing the gospel and for sharing content for Christians. And it was my dad who started off getting involved in those podcasts, but he does not have editing skills. So that was there was a need, and it needed to be met. And I was happy, even with my limited understanding and knowledge, to try and help and step in. So I've been editing a lot of those episodes, particularly of my dad's, for the past, I would say, 5 to 6 years now. And that's been a blessing, just being involved on that, hopefully trying to make the content as engaging for everyone listening, removing areas where things needed to be reset, or there were just times when there was just, yeah, moments that needed to be removed. And that's where I'm trying to come in and make it really smooth for everyone. But it's been a blessing in recent times where I've been more busy out in the States, having more hosts and them being able to take on the editing and really work at how it is that everyone can be involved in it. So it's not just myself editing anymore, but often I'm the one that's responsible for uploading the podcast, making sure they have the right descriptions, that everybody is clear on exactly what we're looking for in terms of each podcast episode, each series. There's different things that we need to continually be hitting, and so it's my responsibility to make sure that the podcast goes out the best it possibly can.
So you get to hear all our mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
All the things that our listeners don't get to hear, you get to hear them all as you're there editing. And we're certainly very grateful for all your help. I know in the early days when I first did my first series on the UTG podcast, you bore a lot of the burden of editing on that one. So yeah, very thankful for that. But it's not just podcasting, is it, Will, that you're involved in? You have a few other things that you're involved in. So what are they?
Yeah, so the recent one for me is just taking on some more of the Thought for the Week videos. So I believe there'll be some coming up over the summer, and they'll stagger the release of those. But there's a team of us now that are really thinking about how we can use the Instagram and the social media platforms to share the gospel primarily with these Thought for the Week episodes. And so it's been my joy to start to see how I can hopefully integrate into that. And it's obviously crossover more with the video aspect of what I'm studying out in the States, and just having an appreciation of how do you make something engaging in a world that's going increasingly short attention span. So it's a way in which the Lord has provided for me to be able to be involved in that team, and that's been a joy working with some of the contributors like John Doxey, people that have a real passion for the social media team. And so now I'm just thinking through, how do I write a script that's going to really challenge the listener when they're scrolling, that's going to catch their attention?
Excellent. And so our listeners can keep an eye on the social media platforms to see you in action over the coming weeks. That would be great. So the other thing that you mentioned there, Will, when you were talking about the podcasting, is that you're kind of involved in that element from quite early on. from when the UTG podcast first started. So this is hopefully a good question for you then, and with your expertise and the things that you've been studying, where do you think that we're at the moment as a podcasting team within UTG? Where are we at?
Yeah, I mean, being honest, I've seen a lot of the changes that have happened over these past 5-6 years, and it's been great to see the way that we can improve in whether it's the audio quality or it's the type of content being produced. People are more considerate about how they're studying and thinking through the different topics that they want to be publishing on. So we're at a place now where we have different series, whether it's the roundtable discussions or it's the UTG Voices series like this one. And you have a set of regular hosts now. It's not just my dad and the odd person who's involved with the project. It's yourself, Josh, and it's Joel. And it, with our, every area of the project, we want to have people that are regularly contributing, familiar voices, people that are able to bear the burden of the work and make it something that's sustainable. So we have a position now where we're able to upload once a week. It didn't used to be like that. It used to be maybe every few weeks, every month. And so having the regular uploads are hopefully a blessing to the listeners. I know sometimes it can be difficult to always keep up with the newest episode, but I feel like we've got a good rhythm with the podcast now where we're posting episodes that are 30 to 40 minutes long. And I know I listen to them on 2x speed, so for me that's not a burden to listen to during my week, but we're at a position where we're really trying to contribute to making not only with this series, but how does each podcast episode also help the other areas of the project, bringing awareness to the articles that are going out, bringing a bit of understanding of who's actually involved in the project. I think when we started off, there wasn't maybe so much of a mission statement or a goal as to how everybody was going to interact with people, but I think building up some more personalities and people that you can expect to hear from, I think particularly with the articles you built up for each contributor a different series, people, they know what they're going to read, and the good thing is that there's a good connectivity, everybody's on the same page.
Yeah, that's why we set up UTG Voices, really to try and do some of those things that you were talking about, to try and make some of those connections, to give the opportunity to some of our authors and some of our other content creators to come on and to just see that cohesion and that connection between all the different aspects. And so, yeah, that's pretty much where we're at. So the next question then is, well, if that's where we're at, maybe you can kind of tell our listeners and what we're hoping to do kind of moving forward and how we want to keep improving, we want to keep developing. So what are the things that we as a team have in mind for that at the moment?
Yeah, and I would definitely say that there's some things that I've started to notice coming through with different contributors and the way that we're, adding things to the current series. One of the blessings of my background and what it is that I do in my spare time listening to other podcasts is you get to hear different ways that people approach it. I think one of the things that we've started trying to do more so recently, but we can continue to improve in, is providing links to extra resources, whether it's links to website or it's a link to a book that you can read further on. I think that's a real blessing. Whenever I'm listening to a different podcast, you're able to take what you're learning in the podcast, and then if you want to study it further, there's resources and means to do that. So that looks like the descriptions that we're working on, even the titles. We want it to be clear what the podcast is going to be about. We're also thinking about how can we make it something that's really professional, and that's not just the audio quality. It's even just having people make sure that they've studied well in advance for what they're going to cover, that they're really taking time. And also, I know with some of the series, maybe not recording 5 episodes in a row sometimes. You just need mental space. But that's been something that everybody's been on board with. And as we've tried to be more consistent with the uploads, it's been a help having different people pulled together so that there's not areas where there's things going awry and a lack in different parts of the podcast. Everybody's aware that there needs to be a cohesion, that when you mess up in your audio, you can't just cut. You need to have a smooth transition, and you don't want it to be janky. So just thinking through how does everybody work to make sure that this is a podcast that people want to listen to, that's engaging. And that's a challenge at times, and sometimes it requires re-recording bits, but it's all worth it in pushing towards something that, as we want to with the podcast, increase our regular listeners.
Sure. So yeah, we want to keep improving. We want to keep getting better in every aspect that we do at UTG, not because we want to look good, but of course we're all involved in this because we believe it's for the glory of God. And so when we're doing something in service for him, we really do want to give it our best and give it our all. So you said there, Will, about you like links in descriptions so you can learn more. So my next question is tied to that. Can you tell us some of the content that you've really enjoyed recently and give me some links to put in the description of this episode?
Yeah, so I mainly, because I'm involved in the podcast, I listen to all the series that come out, and some of the recent ones that I've enjoyed would be the roundtable discussion. So we've got this current series that's gone out, and just that goes through really helpfully the fundamentals, what it means to have biblical scriptural revelation and the way that it compares to general revelation, thinking through, you know, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, just asking those really important questions that, especially to a more churched audience, can sometimes be overlooked. But the other areas would be some of the recent series that have been done either with Joel, whether it's the fruit of the Spirit or it's the purity series, is thinking through a lot of really practical themes, subjects and topics. And you always want to go away from a podcast not just hearing content that you learn, but something that you then apply. That's the best way to actually put into practice scripture. It's something that's going to challenge you to be motivated to be conformed more to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so those recent series have been a great blessing.
Great. And hopefully our listeners have listened to some of those as well. If you haven't, we'll put the links in there so you can catch them, or you'll certainly get them on your normal platform for podcasts as well. So, Will, thank you so much for joining me today. But before I let you go, I just have one more question. So obviously we trust that UTG is a blessing to others. So how has it been a blessing to you?
Yeah, of course. And when you're involved in something as special as understanding the gospel, you are continually reminded of the fact that there's people out there who haven't heard the gospel, who haven't heard the truth. And so when you're listening to every episode that's coming out for the podcast, it's just a reminder of the fact that we desperately need him, we need his word. And so as I'm listening through to the episodes, because I'm listening with a more critical ear on what needs to be changed, I have to think more about the episodes. So just because of my involvement, it means that I'm not just listening to the episodes and they're kind of going in one ear and out the other. God has been able to use the content, especially where you're hearing stuff on repeat, just to really penetrate to my heart where it is that I can change as a result of what's being said, especially when we have such amazing hosts and guests, people like Ian Jackson with wisdom and experience, and just speaking truth into a younger mind like myself. It's a continual humbling reminder of what scripture has to say into my life. And so just the blessing of the wisdom and all the resources that UTG provide, it's not just a blessing as we hope for other people, it's for his glory and for our benefit as we push towards putting these resources out, how it is that we can glorify God in what we do, the way that we do all things to the best of our ability. That forces you to reconsider not just your involvement in this project, but in the church and in your other areas. Are you giving God your best?
Absolutely. And I think we'll leave it there, as that's such a great challenge to finish the episode. Are we really giving God our best as we seek to serve him? Will, thanks so much for joining us today and for everything you bring to the podcasting team. We really appreciate it. And to all our listeners, thank you for tuning in. The UTG podcast will be taking a summer break throughout July and August, but God willing, we'll be back in September with some brand new series and some fresh conversations. So until then, have a great summer, and we look forward to welcoming you back in September for more episodes of the UTG podcast.